Black bears are coming back in earnest in the U.S. these days. Where I live, an hour outside of Boston, a mother bear and her cub were spotted just down the road a piece. And there are now so many black bears in New Jersey that the state is launching its first bear hunting season in more than three decades. Bear and human interactions are way up in many parts of the country, ranging from backyard encounters to bears entering homes to raid kitchens. And one researcher says any problems lay with the attitudes of humans. Living on Earth's Diane Toomey has this profile of bear scientist Lynn Rogers.
It's a chilly morning on the Massachusetts side of the Berkshire Mountains. About a dozen people are gathered here today in black bear country in the hopes of tracking a bear.
I'm here to meet people who like bears and to learn something.
But even among this crowd, there's a bit of trepidation. This woman recently had a close encounter with a bear right outside her glass front door.
I was face to face with this bear looking in, and that really scared me. But I love the bears, that I'm trying to work through that experience.
For that kind of fear, there's no better therapist than wildlife biologist Lynn Rogers.
When a bear shows up in somebody's yard, whether that's a nuisance or a joy, depends on the person's attitude.
64-year-old Lynn Rogers, 6 feet tall with shoulders to match, looks like, you guessed it, a bear. He even sounds a bit like Smokey, that most famous of black bears. And when the group picks up the trail of a bear and Rogers stops to investigate, you'll see he shares some of the animal's tastes.
Here's one the bear missed. I like nuts and berries. This is a beech nut. Really good. Bears are no dummies.
Rogers began his research 35 years ago in northern Minnesota, studying basic bear biology. He was the first researcher to draw blood from wild hibernating bears and did pioneering work in describing the matriarchal nature of bear society, in which mothers bequeath part of their territory to daughters. His research, using radio telemetry to follow as many as four generations of family groups, has been praised by E.O. Wilson as one of the greatest wildlife studies of all time. But Rogers eventually turned to what he describes as the least studied area of bear biology, the bear-human interface.
There's people making a living trying to scare us about bears, telling and retelling the stories of killings by bears. But there's only been 52 killings by black bears in the last 100 years across North America.
So for every human killed by a black bear, Rogers says, 45 are killed by dogs, 120 by bees and hornets, and 60,000 people are killed each year by a fellow human.
That's why I feel safest walking in the woods right next to a bear.
With the help of tracker John McCarter, the group is walking through a light dusting of snow in the hopes of backtracking a bear, tracing its movements back in time and moving away from the actual animal. But it looks like we've gotten too close for comfort.
And see how the leaves are all scuffed down? The bear stopped abruptly here. And if you look right down there where the bear was facing, that points down to the swamp we were in earlier. And then the bear did a 45-degree turn here, hard and fast, and ran out that way.
It shows just the extent to which bears try to avoid people. Mm-hmm. Here's a bear 200, 300 yards from us, and not only did it avoid us, I mean it ran to get away from us, and we were still that far away.
Roger's knowledge of black bears comes from a unique perspective, a distance of about 5 to 10 yards. It's a research technique no one else has tried with bears.
After like hundreds of hours of trying to get near a bear and get it to accept me, finally I get to the point where I can walk with it, sleep with it, record detailed data as it ignores me. I'm not a friend, I'm not an enemy, I'm not a competitor, I'm not a food giver. I'm just there.
On these 24-hour walks, Rogers carries no food or water, barely sleeps, and just simply observes.
And the bears just go about their business of making their living, tearing open logs to get ants, foraging for berries or hazelnuts, whatever. I learn their vocalizations and body language and how they raise their cubs. I learn what bears are really like.
While Rogers may acclimate a bear to his presence in one part of the forest, he says that same bear may be spooked by him in another, So to get past this, Rogers often does something that sounds pretty dangerous.
Sometimes you have to wait till they have cubs. Then when the mother's in there with the cubs, that kind of holds her in place. I can set up a little office outside that den with a sleeping bag, a laptop computer, and a cell phone. And they got to just get used to me being there. And by the time they emerge in the spring, I'm just part of the woodwork.
Or part of the family, as he puts it. This technique wouldn't be possible with a grizzly bear. That's because grizzly mothers are hardwired to protect their cubs. Indeed, 70% of grizzly killings are by mothers doing just that. But Roger says no one has been killed by a black bear defending offspring. He has a theory about why this species has, in his words, come to be ruled by fear.
I think part of it goes back to the Ice Ages when they were living along such powerful predators as saber-toothed cats, American lions, dire wolves, powerful predators. Black bears wouldn't have stood a chance against any of them. But black bears could survive because they were the only one that could climb a tree. And they had this attitude of run first and ask questions later. The timid ones apparently passed on their genes, and they seem to have developed a mind more of a prey animal than that of a predator.
Rogers has even gotten to the point where he can place a radio collar on an acclimated black bear without tranquilizers, using only a can of condensed milk as a distraction. Rogers is quick to warn that touching a bear is usually one of the quickest ways to get bitten or slapped, and that his acclimated bears still maintain their fear of other humans, even when he's with them. Back in the forest, the group has come across more proof that they're on the right trail.
Hey, what's it made out of?
It's bear poop, or scat, as it's known in the business.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask anybody to taste this scat, but I would like to have everybody smell it. I say bears are such wonderful animals that their scat doesn't even stink.
Rogers pulls the scat apart and finds lots of beech nut hulls. He says under normal conditions, bears prefer that kind of natural food to things like backyard grills or dog chow. But there's research that disputes that. And Rogers has garnered criticism for his research techniques as well. Some say because they're habituated to his presence, his bears are less likely to fear other people, placing both animal and human in jeopardy. This haunting sound is being made by a black bear. Some people have described it as a growl.
Because if a person is afraid of an animal, any sound they make will be interpreted as a growl. But it's just their moan of fear. The bear is sitting up in a tree in abject terror. Also, you always hear this blowing and chomping. They blow and then clack their teeth together. Just means the bear is scared.
And then there's this scenario.
A mother at the base of a tree. Cubs are up the tree. Somebody comes near. The bear gathers itself and lunges forward, slams his feet down hard, makes the ground shake. It's so explosive, you can't help but jump. And a lot of bears get shot for that because people interpret it as an aggressive bear. It means the bear is nervous. It's no more threatening than when a deer stomps its hoof and snorts.
Roger says in 35 years of research, he's never heard a bear growl or had one try to attack him.
This is the end of the trail.
Oh, cool.
At the base of a red maple tree, the group spots a bear-sized depression in the leaf litter.
This is the bed right here, John?
This is the bed at the base of the tree between these logs. No tracks leading out except to defecate.
Look at all this sign of where it laid on that log. You know, kind of squashed down snow.
Most researchers agree that black bears pose less of a danger than a lot of people realize. But Rogers has chosen to take that message out on the road, to become an advocate for the animal at a time when black bears and people are increasingly entering each other's territories. Perhaps for Rogers, it's his way of showing gratitude.
I never thought I'd have the privilege of walking right next to a bear and viewing the forest through the bear's reactions, what it's focusing its ears on, what it's looking at, what it's sniffing on the forest floor. And it just opened my eyes to a new view of the forest.
Rogers is currently following 7 radio-collared bears near his home base in Ely, Minnesota. And he's working to establish a bear education center there as well. Rogers says bears can coexist with us. The question for him is, are we willing to coexist with them? For Living on Earth, I'm Diane Toomey in Charlemont, Massachusetts.
Somebody has been sleeping in my bed and it's all messed up.
Talk about evil. Goldilocks was the evil one.
Yeah.
Took advantage of these poor bears. They had a beautiful home, beautiful beds, lots of food. And
to listen to bears and see some unusual bear photos, go to our website, livingonearth.org.